Good morning, everybody. Guess what? It might just be me today. I don't know. So you're going to be subjected to 30 minutes of me just shaving my head. We are going to be talking about... I'm going to turn this off. I don't want to shave my head the whole time. Oh, it looks like Corey might be joining us. So we're going to be talking about Colorado EPR. Corey is at... a show. Avelio is at a show, but Corey just jumped on. So we're going to talk about EPR. We're going to go through my experiment I did this weekend with my son around cans and what's inside of aluminum cans. You've probably already seen some of these videos. I think I have the intro pulled up, so let's get to our fun intro. It won't be me singing, and we'll bring Corey up from the NPE show, which I'm excited to hear about how that's going.
Live from Studio 3, this is Packaging Today with Avelio Matos, Adam Peel, and Corey Connors.
Corey, hello.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
How excited were you to come on and see me shaving my head? was that like an incredible moment for you, or
it's the highlight of my day every day? Okay. I get that video of you shaving your head. It's my favorite part of my day.
I don't know how many people reach out to me and they're like, do you shave your head every day and put it on LinkedIn? Like, I definitely don't do that every day. But I'm sorry for the algorithm, everybody. It's apparently a thing. Welcome everybody to the Packaging Today show. We are live on LinkedIn, on YouTube. This is on my LinkedIn page. I don't know, Corey, if you're able to share, because I know you're on your cellular phone device.
Yeah, probably not. But...
okay. You're with the DJ.
Yeah, DJ. Backstage yep. Pass.
Backstage All pass. It looks like we've got you're at the show with Jonathan Quinn. Yep. Biplastic Live Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about this show, and you're in I believe it is in Orlando, Maine. Yes, where Disney World is.
Just north of Florida. No, I'm in Orlando, Florida. It's been an incredible event already. The Sustainability Hub is where I am. It's where I spent almost my whole morning, and I got to interview Patrick from the International Plastics Association. He gave me a tour of this incredible setup they've got here with all the people innovating in plastics, both in collections of ocean plastics and river plastics and recycling for different materials. Very interesting what's being done. I'm so far impressed.
Sweet. Is this your first? This is the NPE show, correct?
Yeah. It's called NPE. It stands for National Plastic Expo. There's 55,000 people expected, 1.3 million square feet. No big deal. My feet already hurt, and it's only 10:30 here. It's a huge show. It's only every 3 years, so just like the Olympics. And
that's every 4 years. I don't
wait. The Packaging Olympics, Adam. Get it together.
Oh, right. Yeah. You know what's going to be there, Corey, in case you're wondering.
Losing.
There's going to be head shaving.
Oh my God. I can't do it. I can't look away, folks.
I'm going to win. I'm preparing. Yes. Okay. So you're at the NPE show. It's every 3 years. It is in, it's in Orlando, which is obviously famous for the, boy band O-Town.
That's right.
As everybody knows.
That's all that anybody's been talking about here. Is O-Town.
Yeah. Yeah, like, are we going to see O-Town? And are they performing? Okay, so in the Sustainability Hub, mm-hmm. I know that plastic is obviously a material. Oh, that's right behind you.
Yeah, this is it, man.
Okay.
We're live.
And by the way, if you're at the show, go find Corey. Yeah. He has a full head of hair, unlike myself. He's dressed in a blazer. Is that the...
It's new. I don't know. I found it. It was on sale. So my wife's like, this would be nice. I said, yeah, it'd be great for Florida. So
I just figure since you're from Portland, you'd be wearing a blazer. hang on. Ah, dang it. I didn't time it correctly. Wait for it. Where's my, that's applause. Okay. I just figured because you're in Portland, you'd be wearing a blazer. So bad.
Go find
Corey if you're at the show. 1.3 million square feet sounds like a lot. So
I'm in the West Hall.
Yeah. Outside. So do you have a booth there, or tell me about, are you just hanging out in the sustainability hub, just meeting and greeting people?
Yeah. So I've been focusing on the sustainability hub, and I've got some speeches I'm going to attend. I won't be speaking myself. I'm here as press to spread the word about the show and to learn about more sustainable plastic materials. What I'm seeing so far is very interesting. And frankly, I'm a little bit pleasantly surprised. So
okay.
Meet me in the West Hall in the second floor of the Sustainability Hub. It's all the way at the end, so you can't miss it.
All right. And then the thing that everybody is really wondering, Corey, you're in the West Hall, but you're on the East Coast. We have a rap battle happening.
That's right.
Between Drake, who is from the Great North and also the East, and Kendrick Lamar. So,
well,
Corey,
he's going to be here with O-Tim, I think.
Oh, okay. Perform. But Corey, the people are asking. It's just blowing up in the comments, as you can probably tell. Who is winning? Who is winning this battle, in your opinion, Corey? Kendrick Lamar or Drake?
Kendrick, for sure. Yeah.
You've not listened to a single one of the.
No.
Okay. Which is fine. I also agree that Kendrick
like to be decisive. Yeah.
Yeah. No. You made a wise choice, in my opinion. But Drake did drop a new song last night that has the internet a buzz. And
well
speaking
done,
of the internet being a buzz, no,
I'm looking away on purpose.
This is what happens when Corey and Avelio are like, Adam, you might have to carry this one yourself. And I'm like, I guess I'll just shave my head the whole time.
What am I going to do?
Yeah. Well, Corey, I was going to pull up some information around brands and producers who need to register with Colorado.
Yes.
Did you want to hang out for the whole show and talk about it? Or do you have very important. You have many leather bound books. So do you want to hang out and we can pull this up and chat through it? Or what do you want
to
do?
Yeah, I'm here to help. Yes, sir.
Oh, sweet. All right. Well, then let's go. Actually, you know what we should do, Corey? We don't do this very often, but I have a 15-second lovely clip that I pulled from the SpecRite commercial on margarita pizza.
Oh,
and
I
think we should give our friends at SpecRite a little bit of 15 seconds of airtime. And then on the other side of that break, we're going to get into EPR. It's 15 seconds, everybody. Okay. Just deal
my
with
podcast,
it. Here we go.
My podcast that just launched is about SpecRite and Saint Gobain. Yeah.
And what now?
Saint Gobain.
Oh, I thought you said Saint Cobain. I was like yeah. Kurt Cobain. We've sainted him now.
No,
I didn't. Okay. No, got it. And that just dropped on Sunday.
Yes. With Matt Fitzpatrick. It's really insightful about SpecRite and how to use SpecRite successfully.
All right. Well, let's hear a very, very, very fast ad from our friends. Then we come back.
Yep.
We'll talk about EPR and what brands need to be aware of that our friend Gary Cohen shared over the weekend on LinkedIn.
SpecRite allows us to centralize our spec data in an easy-to-use and searchable platform, puts everyone on the same page with up-to-date information, and helps us to adapt quickly to business needs and sustainability reporting.
Oh, look how fast that was, everybody. Okay, by the way, if you are watching this, please feel free to drop some comments, where are you at, questions you have, and we're gonna go through this from the Circular Action Alliance, CAA.
Yes.
And so they are hosting a series of onboarding events for brands who are selling into various states. It looks like California, Colorado, and Oregon. EPR laws, and it says here, hang on, make this bigger, hold please. Okay. So we've got down here any company that expects to be considered a covered producer under California, Colorado, or Oregon's paper and packaging EPR laws, and you're not otherwise exempt from registration under those laws, must complete the covered producer registration form by July 1st, 2024. And so seeing as it is, in fact, May, this is probably something that's important for companies to be aware of. And this is what we do here, right? We have some fun, but we also want to share useful information. This was new information to me. And so I'm super appreciative of Gary. Gary, if you're watching on replay or if you're listening on replay, thank you so much. Now, if you're like, well, who needs to go do this? Is it myself? Is it the brand? I saw down here on what is a producer. It says, first of all, obviously, consult your legal compliance officers to figure it out, because it's going to vary by state. But it could be a brand owner or a domestic producer responsible for the brand. Yep. Also, the producer, I thought this was interesting, maybe the packaging manufacturer or the company that imports the product.
Depends on, each situation is unique. Yeah, they couldn't have made it more confusing. And so that's why everyone is so up in arms and frustrated. Like, well, am I the producer or are you the producer? Right. What do we know? What do we need to know? And so the answer is reach out to the Circular Action Alliance. They're the producer responsibility organization that will help us all figure out if we are the producer that needs to register.
And is this something that you are you fielding a bunch of questions on this either at the show or in your full-time job as the director of sustainability at Aurora? Is that your
official title? Director of Sustainable Packaging at Aurora Packaging Solutions, yes.
Okay.
And our legal team has asked us to advise people to reach out to the Circular Action Alliance because there are so many nuances here. We don't want to give the wrong information ever.
Right.
So reach out to them. They have a great website. It's easy to sign up. Signing up doesn't mean you automatically are liable for anything. It's step one. And you're just saying, hey, I'm a business. I'm shipping things in packaging, or I'm providing packaging to people that are shipping things. And I just want to be a part of the solution here to make this more circular.
Okay. And on this website, they have these onboarding sessions. It looks like we got May 9th is when they're just running these sessions. May 9th, May 16th. So every week from 4 to 5 p.m., you can go on here. It is the Circular Action Alliance. I will figure out. I'll post this on LinkedIn.
Will you tag me on that, Adam? I'd like to share that.
Yeah. I will totally do that. And our only attendee, it seems like, at this is Jonathan Quinn. He says, the hope is that CAA becomes the governing body. Wait. Okay. The hope is that CAA becomes the governing body of CAA. And greatest hope for Fed. Is that a typo? That's like Department of Redundancy Department. The hope is that CAA becomes a governing body of CAA. Jay Quinn, explain yourself, sir. I'm not quite sure what that means, but
I think what he's saying is they have the best shot of being the organization that we all go through for this.
Yeah. We need like a pinch point for it.
Yeah, there can't be, you know, it kind of has to be an oligopoly, kind of a arranged situation for this to work.
All right. Looks like we have a few other people. Chris joining us, as always.
Hey, Chris.
From Colorado. And we've also got Levi Parker.
Hey, Levi.
Jonathan says, of EPR. Okay. So the governing body of EPR, not of CAA. Got it.
Right.
And it seems like we're just heading straight towards a situation where this gets federalized on some level because it is super confusing. We should give a plug, and I know you had Michelle on your podcast recently. I still haven't had her on, at least the podcast where I recorded the sound. But Michelle from Lorax, L-O-R-A-X, just like the Dr. Seuss book, they're a tremendous resource for helping to navigate the various EPR laws by state and by country as well. So make
Lorax
sure you go.
EPI, yeah, they're an incredible company. And she's, in my opinion, one of the most renowned people to reach out to find out if you are, responsible for this and if what to do next. What's the next step?
Correct. So also going to the CAA, and that website is circularactionalliance.org. And like I said, I'll put that down there, and I'll tag you for you as well.
John, I'm looking at their booth right now.
Oh, sweet. Should we go talk to them?
There's nobody there right now.
Okay. Jonathan says, furry for the typo. No regrets.
Thanks.
Okay. So, Corey, I decided to do a fun science experiment with my 8-year-old. Speaking of
very impressive
plastics and sustainability and stuff like that. I've seen these videos before, so it wasn't like I made a new video that doesn't exist on the internet, but my kid wanted to do
it. You are unique, Adam. You are unique.
Thank you. So my 8-year-old wanted to do a science experiment, and so we got a can of liquid death, sparkling water, and we used just some basically drain cleaner. It's 100% lye, sodium hydroxide, mixed it in with some water, and then set up a time lapse. And so, you know, what we kind of saw is, and I can play the video if you want, is this like plastic epoxy that is on the inside of the can, which I think for anybody who's watching a show about packaging is like, yeah, of course. But there was a lot of people who were like shocked by this still. And so
it's a misnomer, right? Yep.
I think that's the question is, it's, I hope what's not happening is that I'm saying like aluminum is terrible and awful because it has plastic in it. That's not the point. The point I wanted to make was when the brand is saying stuff like, you know, death to plastic is on their packaging. The question of like, you talk about collecting ocean plastics. I've never heard of anybody talking about collecting ocean bound aluminum. Like what happens to this? Obviously there's plastic on the inside of it. Does it get converted into microplastics? What happens to the aluminum? Does it actually break down in salt water like it did in the sodium hydroxide water? I'm not a chemist by any means. What happens to that aluminum when it gets into the waterways? I'm not asking these as like gotcha questions. I'm legitimately curious because we talk a lot about ocean-bound plastics because the plastic floats to the top and we see it. We don't seem to talk about ocean-bound aluminum or aluminium or ocean-bound steel or ocean-bound.
We're allowed to say that, yeah.
You know, yeah. I have somebody from the UK who lives in my house, so I've been given permission to say aluminium. But these are my questions. I still haven't really gotten any answers. So I'm curious, is this something, Corey, that you yourself have, you know, looked into? Or certainly, you know, you knew about the plastic liner on the inside of the can. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on this?
I think I'm less concerned with the liner than I am with the sleeve on the outside that often gets added and without a tear strip to easily remove it. Because that can actually impede recycling sometimes. And, the plastic liner is important because, try drinking orange juice out of a metal container and see what it tastes like. You know, it changes the flavor. And the importance here is that packaging does its job, which is getting the material to the customer safely and sustainably, so it lasts on the shelf for a really long time. So that to me is the most important part. Like you shown in your example there, that material is very thin and it's just a sprayed on coating that will provide that barrier between the liquid and the metal. But in my opinion, I think aluminum cans are incredibly sustainable, and Aurora makes them in Australia, and we're a huge supporter of that.
Sure. And like I said, I'm not, I mean, obviously what happens is aluminum goes through a smelting process. The plastic on the inside gets burned away, which was my contention. If you followed the post on LinkedIn of like, this is not a can infinitely recyclable, like aluminum as a element in the periodic table can be converted back into aluminum over and over and over again. But I also don't think that we believe that even the Earth is going to be around for 900 trillion more years. And so certainly it's silly to say that this aluminum can is going to be around while the Earth is gone. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, the idea of infinite is stupid to me. It just drives me crazy. And we've talked about this before. But it's also inaccurate in terms of the can itself, because that plastic liner is not recycled into plastic liner again. It's burned off. Right. And so that can is not recyclable. That's my point.
Is the aluminum that's a good question. That's a good question for all recycling, right? With corrugated boxes, there's adhesive and tape and starch and the liners and things like that. So not every single fiber of every single corrugated box gets recycled. Same with paper, same with plastics, you know, there's always ancillary coatings and things that get burned off or floated to the top, and depending on what the process is. But is it better than going into a landfill? Probably, you know.
Yeah.
That's what we support in this industry. We want it to be circular. And as I look around the NPE show, that's what I'm seeing. They're actually going to do live recycling at this event. They're going to show how materials that get made on the floor that are formed and then taken out back, ground up, and then turned into a new product here, all in one show. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome. What's the conversation like around this idea? So for something to be recyclable, in this case, you know, PET or HDPE or aluminum or paper, I think the definition has to include value at the end of life, right? Like, somebody has to want to buy it or else it's just going to go to a landfill. Whether it's mechanical, whether it's chemical, whether it's a smelter, whatever it is, if all of a sudden we found, for example, if we found a new material that was 100 times better than aluminum, as an example, then aluminum cans would have, if it was 100 times more valuable and 100 times less expensive, which was insane to think, but pretend, then the aluminum cans that we have currently would have no value at the end of their life because somebody else would be buying something, right? So is that a part of the conversation there at the show? Because we spend a lot of time on my side with labels talking about the impact that labels have on plastic recycling in impacting the value of the recycled product, not just is it able to be recycled? That seems to be one question. But the question that I really think is important is it useful as a recycled material?
Right. What's the next step for it? Good. That's a great point. Is it truly circular or is it linear? And is that linear step better than putting in a landfill still? You know, something like turning soft plastics, low density polyethylenes into deck boards.
Or insulation for certain papers and stuff like that.
You know, there you're going to get another 30 years out of that material. And then could it be recycled again? Maybe. Will it be? I don't know. Possibly. I don't know anybody that has a Trex deck that's had to replace it in my lifetime. And I'm older than 30. So I think this is, you know, interesting stuff to think about.
Or he's 31. Everyone is 31.
Yeah. 30 and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great point. And you know, the point about the Trex decking with the low linear density polyethylene or LDPE is, if somebody's building a deck, there's really two options. There's the Trex decking, which does cost more, or you have to use lumber. So if we believe, which I think is true, that trees are one of our greatest sources. Natural forest growth is one of our greatest sources of carbon sinks that we have in our world. Then it is a great idea for us to take something that already exists, an LDPE material, and turn that into a composite decking that leaves the trees available for something else, right? I think that's a win, and I don't think it's a hard – that's not a stretch. To me, that's a win.
I agree. For example, I put in a cedar deck when I built my when we moved into our new house 12 years ago, and I've had to stain it 4 times. Now, that's a lot of chemicals. I don't know what – it's oil-based stain material. It's supposed to last longer. And but if I put in the Trex deck, I would never have to stain it. I'd only have to pressure wash it. So that's a lot less cost. What we're finding is the Trex deck is cost neutral when you look at maintenance over the long term.
Yeah, it's the type of stain you have to put on a Trex deck is sus, so it's actually a sus stain. Noble,
here all week. Tip your week.
Thank you. This is getting worse and worse. Luckily, we're almost here at the end. LinkedIn user number 62759 asks, "What is the end of life solution for Trex?" I would have to guess there is a potential for regrind if I had to draw out an idea.
I interviewed them a few years ago.
Of course you did, Corey.
It was amazing. They've recycled 5 billion pounds of plastic and 1 billion pounds of wood. This is a combination material of plastic and recycled wood, which is pretty incredible. But they did say it could be reground into new materials, or it could be recycled again. But I don't know. I've never seen anybody do it or have to do it because it lasts so long.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Well, everybody, we're here at the end. I hope that people do a few things. Number one, thank you so much for watching. We are literally here every single Monday. One to three of us is here every single Monday. Myself, Corey Novellio. Go find Corey out in Orlando, Florida. He's hanging out with O-Town. go check out Sustainable Packaging with Corey Connors. You post episodes. Is it every Sunday? And you do two a week?
Lately, it's been Sunday and Wednesday. Lots of shows coming up. People like to be on the podcast to talk about their sustainable packaging events. So that's something you can watch for.
Sweet. Spotify, iTunes, anywhere you find podcasts.
We'll be sure to check out Adam's podcast as well. Go ahead.
Yeah. Mine is my bike is back on. Sorry. It said it lost. I'm back. My podcast is wonderfully average. But appreciate everyone watching. Checking out People Packaging podcast. I air this show as well on there. I've been resharing this. And Packaging Unboxed. If you haven't been following Avelio on YouTube, you should go do that.
He's really growing there. Cool.
He's exploding. It's been fantastic to watch that growth. So he is at Lux Pack, I believe, in New York City. So go
I'll
bother
be there
him.
Wednesday. Yeah.
Jeez Louise. Corey is everywhere this year. This is the year of Corey Connors. We're gonna look back and this is gonna be we're gonna be talking about like year 500 CC. It's like after ACC after Corey Connors. This is this year. Corey's been everywhere, so he's in Orlando. He'll be up in New York City. Got to spend some time at Disney World. It's been a good year. Let's see, we got one more comment. Levi says go to Polyfuse in the sustainability pavilion that Levi sent you. So go check
Thank
out.
Thank you, Levi.
Polyfuse, yeah, for sure.
I'll find them.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for watching. Corey, thanks for tuning in. I'm gonna play the right outro. We should make an outro for this.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, but you know what? Avelio was just too busy with his YouTube stuff. Whatever.
Yeah, sorry, Avelio. Jeez.
I'll make one of me shaving my head. That'll be our outro.
Please all right.
Thanks, everybody.
Live from Studio 3, this is Packaging Today.